a little bit. It's marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Khunsari. Lives for about 98 years, and then during his lifetime, he starts offering his prayers since he's 5 years of age. And throughout his life, he has three sets of prayers which he had performed. And when he was inquired as to why does he need to offer so many prayers, he says that on the day of judgment, if I'm inquired and I'm asked for my prayers, I'll offer my first set. And if that is declined, I will offer a second set. And then again, if that second is also denied, I would offer and present the third one and say to Allah, I did not have ability to perform any more of these prayers. Now this noble person who lived for that long, a week before he dies, he is ill, and people, they used to come and visit him. His wife, she says that we used to open the door, and whoever visited him, a point came that he was speaking to someone. No one knocked the door, we did not open, but he was having a conversation with someone. Once it was done, we go and ask him who he was. He says it was Malakul Maut, who had come to say hello to me, to visit me because I'm ill. And a week from today, I'm going to die. And the day of his departure from this dunya, he recites La ilaha illallah 12,000 times, and then he departs from this world. Now this noble person, he says that the actions of mine, I have no hope in them. And then says, the only hope that I have is that wherever a majlis was held for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, I participated in that, I sat and I cried for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, and that is the only thing that I have hope in. So these majalis held for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, they are of great value, great honor and asset. And that is why Ma'asumeen, they say that someone who breathes into and inhales, breathes in a majlis that is held, it's like worship, it's like tasbih, it's like taqdis. So all that great importance that has been mentioned. And when this noble person dies, marhum Imam Khomeini, he says that a marja has passed away who was the marja of muttaqeen. That is a great title again given by him. So we have to be Husayni in all aspects. Among the great poets that we have, it's Nizam-i-Rashti in Iran. He passes away, and when a communication is created after his death, when he was asked that what helped you out among all of your amal, which one helped you in this journey to the unseen, to the hereafter? He says two things helped me. One is taqwa, and the other was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then when he was asked that how are you, where are you now, in reply he says that shukr khuda ra ke dar panah Husainam alam azin behtar panah nadarat. That thanks to Allah, I am in the shelter of Hussein, and there is no shelter better than that of Hussein. That even in the hereafter, that panah, that shelter of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is the only one that could find us salvation. So we have to be grateful to Allah for blessing us with this great blessing, and that is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and this noble household. We talked about this in depth in the month of Ramadan, and again, just a quick glance over it. And that is the instructions, the commands that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has. Initial commands, for example, when it comes to consuming haram, he says no. Or for having unlawful relationships, he says no. And again, when it comes to swearing at others, initial command is that you must not. Now what if a person gets stuck? He doesn't find anything else. The only thing available for him, it's haram. So in emergency rules, what does happen? Initial instructions were that when you cannot. Over here, Allah says, even in these 911 situations, you can't. So when it comes to having an indecent relationship, God forbid, with someone, initial instructions are no. And when a person gets stuck, again, it's no. In this regard, the Holy Prophet, he says that, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لَوْ عَمِلَتْ بِهَا النَّاسِ لَكَفَتْهُمْ. That is, I know an ayah from Quran. That is, if people, they acted in accordance to that ayah, that one ayah will be sufficient for them. And what is that? Says that, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That if you are God-wary, if you observe taqwa, He will find you an outlet, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and He will provide you sustenance from where you never thought of. So when it comes to jobs, for example, if we have a job, and then there are haram attached to that job, what do we do? Job, we have to have a job. Allah says, yes, you have to. But when it comes to a haram job, He says, you can't. What if you get stuck? We don't find any other job. The only job available is that haram. He says, again, that hurmat, it doesn't go away. That haram, it is still valid. May that be in ordinary circumstances, may that be in emergency circumstances. In both cases, that haram still applies. Now the beauty of this ayah is that it is as if this ayah is revealed for us to be applied in emergency circumstances. That is, even that I am stuck, Allah says that you stick to that same rule that I told you, I will find you an outlet. And then says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, He will find an outlet. So, when it comes to relationships, indecent relationships, our aql, our mind would say that because we are stuck, we can fall into that haram. Ayah says you can't. Because we are stuck, we are hungry, we haven't got anything else to eat, we can stick to that najis sandwich. That again does not apply over here. Says in either circumstances, when you get stuck, the outlet will be found for you by Allah. You just stick to that pattern. And that pattern is that you move within that framework of halal al-haram that has been laid and said by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this says something which is applied to us when it comes to an individual in cases that were mentioned, or even as a community, that it may so happen that an entire community is tested in a way, and it is us who have to be smart. And when we are smart, you find that outlets are found by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, miraculous ways and means that we could never ever thought of. So this is just a reminder to be borne in mind that if it is a job that we find, but there are strings of haram attached to it, if for example a job is there, but the condition is that hijab has not to be observed, don't take it. If a job is offered and then they say that there are strings attached to it, for example beard, again which is wajib, don't take it. You stick to that program which Allah has set for you, He will find you an outlet. Iman into these ayat, having faith in the and hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the outlet. The more the hope a person has in the existence of Allah, the better a solution will be sought and found for him. And marhum Imam Khomeini, he says that, I went to my ustad, told him, I get stuck once in a while, find me an outlet, what do I do? Says, after every wajib prayers of yours, recite 3 salawats, recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad 3 times, the whole surah, and then this ayah, which is the second and the third ayah from Surah At-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا 3 times. You do that, he says, I applied that into my daily program for the duration of my life and never did I get stuck. So that is how Allah finds you an outlet. In ordinary circumstances, in emergency circumstances, the rules, they don't change, they are same. Haram is haram at all points, no matter what the circumstances are. Salawat. Our wish, our desire is that we are counted and enlisted among the true servants of the Imam of time. And for that, various du'as are reported to us. Among them, one of them is Du'a al-Ahd. We've got a longer version of it, and Ziyaratul Ahd, which is a shorter version of it, to be recited every morning after your Fajr prayers. And there we say that Allahumma in hala baini wa bainahu al-maut, that is, O God, if death intervenes between us and him, that is, us and the Imam of Time, says, raise me from my grave with my shroud as my garment and my sword as the arms. So that is a wish of ours, that we always wish and ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to be as such. And riwayat from our sixth Imam, they say that if someone was sincere in this, and if he recited this dua for 40 days, and if he dies, Allah will raise him, that is, when the Imam comes. Riwayat is as such, it says that when the Imam arrives, it will be as such, a caller would come by the grave of Mu'mineen and would say that Imam, he has arrived. It is up to you, for you to be, to serve him, or if you wish, you can be here in the karamat and the benevolence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The option is yours. You can come, serve him. If you want, you can rest over here in Barzakh until the day of judgment, and you will be woken up then. So these are terms that we find. So the option will be given to mu'mineen who waited, who longed for the Imam of Time for him to arrive, and then they could be in his service. So that is one of the greatest desires that we have. That is being a friend and the helper of the Imam, and that is what a great rank that we have. Ahlul Bayt, they have taught us that pray a lot to be a helper of the Imam. When it comes to being a helper, it is that framework, those parameters that have been set by the ulama, by the mujtahideen, whichever mujtahid you follow. Whatever he has said to do, do it. Whatever he has said not to do, don't do. Just move within that framework and you will find. There's a book called Siyahat-i-Gharb, written by Marhum Ayatullah Najafi Quchani. And it's among those amazing books and wonderful books that have been written. And over here, he talks about his own life after death, whilst he is still alive. Marhum Shaheed Mutahari, he says, when he was young at that time and this alim was still alive, that how come you wrote your own life after death in this book? He says it's all these mukashifat, these visions which I had seen. Again, they are certified and supported by ayat and riwayat that I have mentioned them in this book. So during the Imam's time, people who did live, for example, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, there were people who lived then. Who lived during the time of Ma'sumeen, who saw the Ma'sumeen, but we see the performance they have, it's a very disappointing performance. And we too are people living in the end of time who haven't seen the Imams, none of the Ma'sumeen, but still we find that we are with the Imam. So that is one of the bonuses that we have, and we ask Allah, this faith and Iman that has been given to us, may that never ever be taken away from us. May we never separate from Quran and Ahlul Bayt. May that be in this dunya, Barzakh and Qiyamah. Among the personalities that we can mention is Harsamat bin Salim. On the day of Ashura, he is from the side of Umar Sa'd, La'anatullah alayh. He, when he sees that this day of Ashura has unfolded, he is reminded of an incident. He says, I should go and inform that to Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. Now what is that incident? He comes to Aba Abdullah from the enemy's side, says that, Ya Aba Abdullah, I was reminded of an incident which I'd like to share with you. Imam says, what is that? Says, 30 years before, I was in the battle of Siffin with your father, and when I came to this spot, that is the land of Karbala, your father's performance was amazing. He stepped down over here and said to all the members of the group of the army that we will be settling down tonight in this spot, and tomorrow we'll continue with our journey. And then he says that your father's performance that night was amazing, that all night he spent in worship, awake, crying and weeping in sajda. And to us he said that this is the place where those camps will be set. This is the place where the blood will be shed. This is the place where my son will be killed. So on and so forth. He described the entire situation or what is going to unfold on the day of Ashura. Harsamad bin Salim defines this to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Now Imam says that, Harsamad, do you want to be with us, join us? He says, no, I just came here to inform you of this incident. So a person we find who saw three imams, but that is Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Mujtaba, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. On the day of Ashura, he is reminded of that incident, comes and says the incident to Abu Abdullah, someone who has come to the doorstep of the paradise, again switches and moves away. That is a disaster. Again, when we look into what Ma'sumeen have said regarding the people of the end of time, our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salam, to Aba Khalid Kabuli, says that regarding the people of the end of time, says, Inna ahla zamana ghaybatihi, people of the end of time, that is you and me over here, al qailuna bi imamatihi, those who witness, those who embrace and accept the imamats of the 12th Imam, al-muntaziruna lizuhurihi, those who are waiting for the arrival of the Imam, afdalu ahli kulli zaman, they are the best of people of every time. Why? Imam then continues, says that a'tahum min al-uqul wal-afham wal-ma'rifa ma sarat bihil ghaybatu indahum bimanzilatil mushahada, that Allah, he has given them an intellect. For them, ghaybat, and that is the absence of the imam, or the error of the presence of the imam, for them it makes no difference. They have that iman in ghayb, which we read in Quran, that when it comes to muttaqeen, Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah starts defining alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb, that is, they are those who have faith in ghayb, that is, ghayb, existence of Allah. Again, when it comes to belief in Imamat and the 12th Imam, that is ghaib. When it comes to the Day of Judgment, again, that is ghaib. So in all sides, we find that it is ghaib. And having faith in ghaib, that is that whole big, mighty achievement. And again, when Imam was inquired, what is this ghaib? He says that, وَهُوَ الْحُجَّةُ الْغَائِبُ, that is, having faith in hujjat, which is the argument, which is the Imam, and who is unseen. So, loud Ma'sumeen have spoken about the people of the end of time. Or for example, Rasulullah in one of these reports, when he was with his companions, says that, Allahumma laqqini akhwati, that God make it as such that I see my brothers. Ashab, the companions who were present with the Prophet, they say that, are we not your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? He says, no, you are not my brothers, you are my companions, you are my ashab. And then Rasulullah says, my brothers are the people of the end of time. That is, they are those who will have faith in me, although they haven't seen me. They will have faith in my successor, in the last Imam, although they haven't seen. So that is how people of the end of time have been defined by Ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam. And then Rasulullah continues and says that having faith, retaining faith, maintaining faith in the end of time, it's going to be so tough and severe. It's like holding flares of fire in your palm. How tough is that, to hold a flare of fire in your palm? Says maintaining faith or being on faith, it's going to be as such as that. So this is something that has been mentioned by Aba Abdullah, by Ma'sumeen alayhi salam, regarding having faith in the end of time, and that is ghaib, that was mentioned by Rasulullah and our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala make it as such that we be enlisted among His true supporters, among the true servants of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and especially when it comes to the people of the end of time. The other thing I had in mind to mention over here is that There are a few issues that are being mentioned. That is, the soul that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to us, it has to be maintained in the best possible way. That is, the value of an individual, it's based upon the soul which he possesses. The higher, the more elevated the soul is, the better he will be bought in the hereafter. The price tag that has been set for man is the paradise. And in the paradise, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will buy these souls that have blossomed and flourished. And he will buy them at a very lavish and a very high price. So this soul has to be protected from every aspect. I did mention in the khutbah this today, just in brief. One of the things which pollutes, which contaminates the soul is information provided to it from all these different formats. The inputs to the soul, ma'asumeen, they say they are seven. As the doors to the hell, Jahannam, are also seven. The two eyes, the two ears, the mouth, and the two private parts. These are the inputs to the soul. And the same are the inputs, are the doors that lead to the hell, to Jahannam, which are seven. So if we secure these inputs to the soul, we have secured ourselves from Jahannam. And if we leave these inputs to the soul loose, we find that it's easier access to Jahannam. One of the sayings is from our fifth Imam, Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam. Imam says that if someone listens to an orator, to a speaker, he has worshipped him, and then says, إِن كَانَ النَّاطِقُ يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَقِّ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ الْحَقِّ or فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. That is, if the speaker spoke about Haqq and Allah, you have indeed worshipped Allah. And if the speaker spoke about Batil, spoke about Iblis, Imam says that you have indeed worshipped Iblis. So we have to be very careful. These inputs that Allah has given to us, the ears, the eyes, the mouth, only that which is good for the soul be entered. When it comes to nourishment and the food intake that we have, we always go for the best food. And nowadays we go for organic food because that is the best. When it comes to the soul, not everything should be provided to the soul, only that which is best for the soul. Especially when it comes to these sites, to these TV channels, to orators, to speakers, and when it comes to our children who are interacting with them. We have to be smart, we have to be careful. Not everything should be provided to them. Because these people who create doubts in the minds of people, they are the danger zone. They are dangerous. That we have to try and do something, that these doubts that are already existing in the minds of our youth, they have to be cleared. Creating more doubts in their minds, that is a disaster. Over here living in the West, our utmost endeavor is that the youth, they are protected so that they remain as practicing Muslims, as practicing followers of Ahlul Bayt. That is our utmost endeavor. And if someone is polluting them, that is their minds, by creating doubts, we have to be smart, remove all these doubts that come into one's mind, one after the other. And again, it is wajib, like every other wajib, that doubts that come into our minds, these doubts, they have to be removed. And if not removed, again, we have committed a sin. So that is something that which Ma'asum says, control these inputs to your soul and you will find salvation. A person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, from this deen that you have brought forth, which has a lot of wajibat, a lot of things to be abstained from, he says, from this entire deen of yours, the only thing which I can do, it's only prayers and nothing else. He says, you said prayers, I can only do the wajib prayers, mustahab prayers, I don't feel like doing them. For me, relaxing and dozing off, that is much more which I need. Then he says, you say Hajj, Hajj does not apply to me. I cannot. And then says, you said zakat. He says, I'm poor. I can't pay zakat. It's not wajib on me. Then he said that you said fast during the month of Ramadan. And then say, I can't fast. I'm sick. I'm ill. Fast, I cannot observe. Then he says, Ya Rasulullah, will I end up in the paradise or not? Rasulullah says, you will be with me side by side in the paradise if you observe three things. What is that? He says, mouth of yours, don't pollute it. Don't pollute it by swearing. Don't pollute it by haram. Don't pollute it by najis. Says, you observe that, one. Second, he says that your stomach, your belly, don't fill it with najis, with haram. And when it comes to najis and haram, it's not only this haram that we find in fast foods and drive-thrus and all that. It could be unlawful money, that is, through wrong sources of income, or maybe right sources of income, but that khums and zakat hasn't been paid off that. Again, that is unlawful. Says, don't your stomach, your belly, keep it clean. And the third thing which Rasulullah mentions over here is that your private parts, guard them. Only that what is halal, use it only in that. Otherwise, no. He says, you protect these three items and I will secure and guarantee that you will be with me side by side in the heaven with me. So it's three special easy steps which Rasulullah mentions. And when it comes to the mouth, the tongue, we spoke on this quite a lot. This tongue of ours, we have to maintain it clean. Although the atmosphere or what is being taught over here is that the more the swear words a person has, the cooler he is. Well, Rasulullah says that you have to have and maintain a sterile tongue. If you look into the performance of Rasulullah, when he sends his propagator, his muballigh to Yemen, when he had established in Medina, says Ma'az bin Jabal, he has 30 instructions to him. Now over here, Rasulullah, being the head person, the first person of Islam, he walks all the way from Medina until they come to the outskirts of Medina, seeing this person off. Says Ma'az, I want you to be very polite when you speak to people. Don't walk on their nerves. Don't be harsh to them. Be kind to them. So that kindness, it plays an important part. And again, if you look into riwayat, they say that many a times you find that people, they find salvation because of that kindness, because of that kind nature of theirs, because of that good tongue which they possess. There is no one worse than Fir'aun in the history who stood against Allah. And when Allah sends Prophet Musa and Harun to Fir'aun, says, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Be polite to Fir'aun. Speak to him nice. That is, don't swear at him. Although he has stood against me, you be good to him, you be kind to him, you be polite to him. So these three inputs mentioned in this hadith over here, Rasulullah says that observe these three things, a clean, a sterile mouth, that is from haram eating and from swearing, and all the sins that are attached to that mouth, keep it clean, and then your stomach, keep it clean, and guard your private parts, you will be with me, next to me in the paradise. So the whole thing turns back to obedience. And this obedience again, if you look into Karbala, to the maximum height of it is found in every member present over there. Among the members that we can name is Habib ibn Muzahir. Among the great personalities, among the noble servants, loyal servants of Ahlul Bayt. And for him, it is as such, now, that when Habib, in his childhood, he plays with Abu Abdullah, who himself is a toddler at that time, playing in the streets of Medina, when he walks behind Abu Abdullah and picks the sand from under the feet of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, kisses it and throws it onto his head. Rasulullah was passing by with his companions and he sees this performance of this little toddler with Abu Abdullah, that he takes the dust of the feet of Abu Abdullah, kisses it and puts it onto his head. Rasulullah, he throws himself into that desert, into the dirt and the dust on the ground. Companions were amazed to see the performance, that how come he was walking with us, all of a sudden he throws himself into that sand and the dust. And then he hugs Habib, places him in his lap, kisses him and says that you will be among the servants of my grandson, that is among the associates and companions of Hussein on the day of Ashura. Now this personality of Habib, it's amazing how sincere he is when it comes to obedience. Habib is having lunch with his wife in his home. Wife, she is a mu'mina. She says, I sense as if a messenger is about to come. Not long after that, someone knocks at the door. Says, I am a messenger from Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. And I have a note for whom? إِلَى الرَّجُلِ الْفَقِيحِ حَبِيبِ ابْنِ مُظَاهِرِ. I've got a note from Abu Abdullah al-Hussein to this man who is faqih. Who is he? Habib ibn Mazahir. What is the note? Says that Imam is in need and he has summoned you to join him in Karbala. Note has come to Kufa. The status of Kufa at that time was very bad. The atmosphere in Kufa was all totally against the Imam. Habib, he is a noble person. Wife says that, what are you going to do, Habib? He says, what is going to happen of you if I go and join the Imam? What will happen to you? Who will look after you? Wife says, you are waiting. You are thinking about us. What is going to happen of us? Whence Abu Abdullah al-Hussein's message, it's waiting for you, for your services. We will live and dwell like all other orphans and widows of Ahlul Bayt who lived and dwelt. We also will continue our life till we die. That note, that message, that command of Abu Abdullah must not be waiting, Habib. Habib says that I just wanted to test you. That is that mu'mina, how much of obedience she has to Ahlul Bayt. Habib himself, how much of obedience he has to Ahlul Bayt. And when it comes to the obedience of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, Habib, he did not want this rumor to be spread out that he is going to join Abu Abdullah, because the atmosphere in Kufa was tensed. He waits. All of a sudden, his cousins, they join and say, we heard that you are joining Abu Abdullah, leave him. Habib, he sends his slave with his horse, says, go and wait for me outside Kufa. I'll come and join you in a bit. Now this slave of Habib, raised, educated, brought up by Habib, look at the performance of this slave. Again, that is amazing. Slave is waiting for Habib ibn Muzahir outside Kufa for him to come and join. He sees that it's a bit late, he hasn't come. Speaks to the horse. I wonder, Habib may have changed his mind that he doesn't want to join Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Is speaking to the horse that if he is delayed, I will jump on you and you take me to Karbala. That is that sincerity that we find in Karbala, that loyalty, that obedience to the max, to the height of it. When he is having this conversation with that horse, Habib arrives, says that, what makes you say that? I am leaving. And upon seeing the performance of the slave, Habib says that, I free you in the way of Allah. You are a free man from now. Slave starts pleading that I've been waiting for an opportunity so that I serve the Imam of time, that is Abu Abdullah, and you want to free me at this very point? So that is that obedience, the performance of Habib, of his wife, that is all wholly and solely submitted to Abu Abdullah. The wife, when she says farewell to Habib, she says, Habib, go. And when you go there, I want you to extend my salams to Abu Abdullah. I want you to kiss his hands and his feet on my behalf. And when he comes to Karbala, over here the flags, they were all distributed. There was just one flag that was waiting. People, they said to Abu Abdullah, that whose is that flag are you going to give? He says, the owner who deserves that flag is yet to arrive. And when Habib comes to Karbala, that flag is given to Habib. And over here, that respect which Abu Abdullah al-Hussein gives and shows him, he says, who am I? What am I? Do I deserve all this honor that has been given to me from Ahlul Bayt? And when Imam says, Ahlan, that is, he welcomes Habib, Zainab al-Kubra, she hears that someone new has arrived to join the Imam. She says, who was it? Says, it's Habib. Says, my salams to Habib. Deliver him my salam. At this point, Habib, he bends down, takes the dust and the earth from the ground and starts beating his face and throwing it onto his head, that who am I that Ahlul Bayt must give that much of honor to me? I haven't served them yet, and that much of welcome and respect they have given to me. So these personalities that we see in Karbala, they arrive to that rank only because of submission, only because of obedience, only because of that love they had to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and the Ahlul Bayt. When it comes to love, just love without any faith, just love without any foundation, it's of no use, or it's little use. Because Quran says that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. That if your claim is that you love me, says, then obey me, be obedient to me. Obedience is whatever Allah has said. Do and don't, move within that framework. Yuhibbukumullah, he will love you. Now again, on this day of Ashura, the performance of Abu Abdullah, you find it is as such that when everyone had passed away, no one had remained, Abu Abdullah is the only person who is alive. Everyone has departed. And there is a whole group of Ahlul Bayt, women and children, who he has to look after for a few more hours. And for them to be at ease and not to be disturbed, what Abu Abdullah does is, on that horse, he comes by the tent, says loud, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, so that they hear that their Imam is still alive and they are at rest. A time comes when the horse comes, no voice of Abu Abdullah is heard. And now when the horse comes to Abu Abdullah, it is just with these stains of blood on it. And there Sakina, who is again waiting for the Imam of her time, that is Abu Abdullah, her father, she says that, Ya Jawad Abi, Hal suqiya abi am qutila atshana? O loyal horse of my father, tell me, was my father quenched or did he die of thirst? A question is posed from the horse and the answer is heard from somewhere else, from the spearhead, that is, Shi'ati mahma sharibtum azbama'in fanwud. Says, my Shias, whenever you drink a sip of water, do remember, do remember. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun. Ilahi bihaqq al-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdagh fiha. Ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah. Ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah. Ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept this little service from us. These tears that were shed for Abu Abdullah, may they remain an asset for us, for our life hereafter. All those who have requested for du'as, all those who are ill and ailing, all those, no matter what wishes and hajat and desires they may be having, all what every good requested and asked from Allah Jalla wa Ala, all of that be given to each one of us present and all those who have hopes in these majalis. Salawat.